Rose is your name, but when you poop, it sure don't smell like roses. Your number two burns the hair in my nose, but we fought hand in paw. Now your poop don't stink at all. Now that the air is clear, I'll treasure your front and rear, my sweet rose.
Instantly neutralize poop stink with Poop Fighter from World's Best Cat Litter for the world's best cat.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz, as we are all preparing for the first weekend of playoff football in the NFL. Wild card weekend, always one of the most exciting weekends of the year. Some legacies will be made, some legacies will be unmade. We, of course, have a full slate of action continuing in the NBA. We are all wrapped up with the NCAA now that Georgia has won the college football championship. And so we are now, any college football news you get now is all about recruiting. And we actually are going to lead off Wednesday's headlines here with a little bit of baseball news. And honestly, just very welcome news to me personally. John Lester is retiring as a three-time World Series champion. Honestly, I feel great that he's gone, because that means that he cannot cost me any more money in daily fantasy baseball. Love to stack against John Lester. You know, once or twice a year, you'll get it right. He gives up the home runs. If you don't know this about John Lester, he hates to throw over to first base, so he gives up lots of steals. But more often than not, stacking against John Lester would cost me some money. Joe Judge is officially removed as head coach of the New York Football Giants. Around this time on Monday, I was telling Craig I couldn't believe he still had a job. You said yesterday, George, on Sports Grid 60, that it was time for them to move on. Apparently, they finally came to that decision. Brandon Ingram had a huge game last night. We're going to talk a little bit more about him in our NBA fantasy standouts in the second segment of the show. Leads them to a win. And the Jets and Lions coaching staffs are set to coach in the Senior Bowl, which is sort of particularly interesting given that a huge advantage in coaching the Senior Bowl is a lot of the times you're going to get to evaluate quarterbacks, right? So the reason why the worst coaching staffs coach the Senior Bowl is they like to get a look at the quarterbacks. But George, both of these teams, I think, probably believe that they have their quarterback. I don't know if either the Jets or the Giants is going to have a different quarterback next season.
Well, I mean, the Jets certainly are not, right? They're going to go at least give Zach Wilson another year, probably another 2 years to find out. And Zach did improve as the year went along, all right? Now, listen, that's a tricky word, improve. He didn't do it by leaps and bounds, but he improved. So good for him there. We'll see what he can do in his second year, which will be more important. As for the Lions here, I mean, Jared Goff. He has 1 year left on his contract, I believe. I think they will draft somebody eventually. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be the second pick this year. I doubt that. You know, I don't think it's a quarterback worthy of the second draft pick. You know, I think if a team wants to draft the quarterback at number two, they're probably trading up with the Lions. But like I said, I don't think there's a quarterback worthy of that. That being said, it's the NFL. Rarely is there a quarterback who is truly the best player in the draft, yet they always seem to go number one every year. So we'll see how that works out there. But I think the Lions this year might be a lower draft pick for a quarterback, and Goff stays, and maybe next year is where they'll go for somebody. I think Pickett, goes around. I think he's really a team player, but he probably goes around top 10, bottom end of that top 10. Someone will trade up for him there. I believe that's where they have to grab him. Corral a couple of picks later. I think that's where it's going to go there. You mentioned Giants. Listen, I got rid of Joe Judge yesterday, right? Daniel Jones needs to go too. That being said, I can see Daniel Jones being there as a possible backup. You know, he's a low-cost backup there, so maybe that.
Yeah, and I would like to welcome in all of our terrestrial radio listeners here to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. I am, of course, Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. Hope that all of you guys are enjoying your Wednesday afternoon. And George, you know, we were just talking about the quarterback situation for some of these teams. So maybe the Jets don't have a new quarterback. Maybe the Lions don't have a new quarterback. But I was just kind of looking around the NFL this morning, and we are set for an all-time musical chairs season at the quarterback position. So, you know, we have some teams who are definitely going to need a new quarterback, the Steelers, for example, the Panthers, for example. But if Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers decide to press that nuclear button and say, that's it, I'm not doing it anymore, not playing the string out here anymore. I mean, I think we could see up to like 15 teams having a new quarterback next season.
I'll take the under on 15 just because that's a lot. Because I also wonder this. All right, Aaron Rodgers seems to be calming down a little bit. You know, I wonder if he's going to leave Green Bay now. Yeah, I still think it's more likely than not that he does, but not where it was. I was 6 weeks ago where, oh, he's gone. Now I wonder, you know, some of his comments seem to be like, maybe he's happier in Green Bay now. So I do wonder if he stays. Russell Wilson, I still don't believe Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll are both coming back to Seattle. Pete Carroll's not walking away from $14 million a year for the next 2 years. So that's $28 million. He's not walking away from that, which leads me to believe it would be Russell Wilson. Also, Seahawks, they're in a lot of trouble, right? They're not going anywhere. They don't have a first-round pick this year. The only way to get a first-round pick would be to trade Russell Wilson. So I do wonder if that happens. The Giants would make some sense there. Giants have two first-round picks. Not that they would trade both, at least not both of the first-round picks this year for Russell Wilson. Maybe a first this year, first next year. Sierra, Russell Wilson's wife, they've let it be known they want to go to a big market, you know, for her career as well. Well, can't get much bigger than New York. So I wonder if that makes some sense. Daniel Jones would be your backup in that case.
Definitely. I mean, it makes sense for both teams, right? The Giants are certainly going to want to move on from the disastrous Joe Judge, Dave Gettleman era. So I wonder if that is a scenario that is a little bit more realistic than the markets are considering right now. Everyone, we have an absolute jam-packed show here for you today on Fantasy Sports Today. So don't go anywhere. NBA, NFL, everything that you guys need. Stay tuned. Stay on the grid. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rose is your name, but when you poop it sure don't smell like roses. Your number two burns the hair in my nose. But we fought hand in paw. Now your poop don't stink at all. Now that the air is clear, I'll treasure your front and rear, my sweet rose.
Instantly neutralize poop stink with Poop Fighter from World's Best Cat Litter for the world's best cat.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, Baconate with a breakfast Baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, giving George Kurtz a small little rest as we bring in our producer, Brett Levy, to discuss our NBA fantasy standouts from last night. We had a pretty exciting night in the association. That Warriors-Grizzlies game was, you know, absolutely phenomenal. Ja Morant versus Steph Curry looking like one of the best new rivalries in the NBA. Our fantasy standouts from last night in that game: Steph Curry, 27 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 steals with the triple-double, was actually a loss for the Golden State Warriors, even with Klay Thompson buoying their spirits and their lineup a little bit. The aforementioned Brandon Ingram, 33 points, 4 rebounds, 9 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. You know, the Pelicans are doing everything they can to try and keep things tied together with no Zion Williamson. They are 15-26, very much on the outside looking in of the play-in race. So we'll see what happens there. Karl Anthony Towns, 26 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. Karl Anthony Towns, always great for fantasy. Losing to the Pelicans last night, not always so great for his actual team. Ja Morant against Steph Curry, 29 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 blocks. And Suns guard Chris Paul, 15 points, 2 rebounds, 12 assists, and an otherworldly 5 steals. Chris Paul, one of the best defensive guards in the NBA. Brett, what leapt out to you from last night's action?
Well, I mean, we have to start off with Brandon Ingram because he really carries his team down the stretch there in the fourth quarter, Davis. It's been a pretty disappointing year for Pelicans fans, you could say. We have not seen Zion Williamson at all. We've barely seen Brandon Ingram. He was out for large portions of the year. Devontae Graham's been up and down. So, look, it's not been the year that Pelicans fans were hoping for. They also lost Lonzo Ball in free agency, and he's looked really good in Chicago as they keep winning games. So I think things will turn around there, Davis. I do think they have a lot of talent, but Brandon Ingram's fourth quarter, where he, you know, really scored 10 points down the stretch there to close out that close game, you know, that's a sign of maturing and leadership, and he's obviously a big-time scorer, Davis, so it's nice to see him be able to close out a game. And that was a fun game. It was high-paced, lots of scoring. Anthony Edwards put up lots of points as well. So, you know, it was kind of a fun one to watch, even though, to your point, it was not Wizards-Grizzlies, which had much more playoff implications.
Yeah, which, I mean, look, you got to take what you can get from the NBA. Sometimes when you turn, you know, a game on for the night, it's going to be a game that has tons of playoff implications, has MVP candidates going up against each other, and sometimes the guys are just out there getting buckets, and I think both of those things can be fun depending on the eye of the beholder. So now we need to get into our big questions from Tuesday night. I think the first one is very interesting, which is how many pieces will the Pistons and Pelicans sell off at the deadline? The Detroit Pistons have several guys who I think, you know, certainly could draw the eye of some contending teams. And, you know, the Pelicans have a few guys who are interesting, you know, your Josh Harts, your Nickeil Alexander-Walkers. But if they wanted to, they could go with the full nuclear option and sell Brandon Ingram at the deadline as well. So how many pieces do you think these teams are going to be selling, Brett?
Yeah, well, Davis, it almost seems like a certainty Jeremy Grant will be moved at the deadline. Of course, a former Cuse player, so have to shout out that aspect of Jeremy Grant's career. But, yeah, look, he's a really good player for the Detroit Pistons. He's going to boost any playoff team's rotation. Probably more of a six-man than a starter, but, like, a high-end six-man, probably a mid-level starter for a playoff team. And yeah, I think if I was a playoff team, Davis, maybe in the 7-8 bubble range, maybe if I'm Portland trying to figure out how I want to retool my team, or maybe if you're the Sixers trying to figure out how to retool your team, I would be making phone calls for Brandon Ingram, Davis. I think he's a really talented player. Obviously, you know, number 2 overall pick in an NBA draft. So, yeah, you know, people have never doubted him, really. It's just maybe taking him a little longer to become a true number 1 option. But he's looked really good this year, has carried the scoring load. And, you know, you pair him up with a Dame Lillard or a Joel Embiid, that could be a dangerous pairing right there.
Yeah, I think Brandon Ingram is definitely one of the more interesting guys who is going to be available, or at least you the phone is not going to be hung up when you call the New Orleans Pelicans asking if Brandon Ingram is available. But, you know, given the role that they would likely have on a playoff team, I wonder if Jeremy Grant is even the better option, because Jeremy Grant is going to come in and basically do what he did on the Denver Nuggets, which is he is going to, you know, try and shoot 3-pointers and play good defense, and that is that.
So should we be worried about Bradley Beal is our next question. He's been okay, you know, when he has been playing over the last couple weeks. I mean, since coming back from the COVID list, he's had over 20 points in every single game, but he's back in the health and safety protocols, testing positive for COVID again. We've seen this happen more in the NFL, actually, where guys came off the COVID list and we've really seen their performance suffer. But are we worried about Bradley Beal, especially considering he is probably the most attractive name who would theoretically be available for a trade right now?
Yeah, he's interesting for sure, Davis. The two COVID stints is kind of weird. Kyle Kuzma has really developed into an unbelievable option for them over the last, you know, 2 weeks here. He's really been carrying the scoring load, been their best player. So that's been a nice development for the Wizards as well. And we got some weird news this morning that we saw a locker room fight between Montrezl Harrell and KCP. So I don't know what to make of the Wizards right now, Davis. I would be selling and fading the Wizards right now because, you know, Bradley Beal is back on the COVID list. It's now his second time on the COVID list in a few weeks. And, you know, a locker room fight is never a good thing. And, you know, Kyle Kuzma, I've really enjoyed watching him play the last few games. He's looked really good, much more like the rookie that was probably exceeding everyone's expectation than maybe the player that underperformed a little bit the last few seasons and had some, you know, laughable moments or whatever. So it's nice to see him playing well and the Wizards, I'd probably say this nice little run they were on is probably coming to an end here.
Yeah, and you know, locker room fights, that's more like the old Wizards. That's more like the Gilbert Arenas Wizards than the team they have now. And then finally here, real quick, who should be favored for the most improved player? Ja Morant is -130. I actually disagree with this. Not that Morant, you know, couldn't win or I'd be mad about it, but I think he was already a very good player. I mean, a great NBA player even. And but I think Darius Garland should win this award. That's my opinion.
Yeah, Darius Garland, very well deserving as well. Miles Bridges, Davis, going to go from a rotation player to an all-star this year. I guess you could say the same about Garland, too. He might find his way into the all-star game, so definitely two deserving candidates. Cole Anthony, when he's been on the court, has been a real difference maker for the Magic, but their record may be an issue there. So I think there's some real candidates who are long shots in this. Also, a Grizzly teammate, Desmond Bane, has been fantastic this year, Davis. If you look up his three-point percentage, I'm sure I'm underselling him a little bit, but shooting north of 40% from three, that's been a huge addition to his game. So Desmond Bane might even take away some votes from Ja Morant here.
I could see that happening. You are right about Ja Morant, though. I mean, last year he shot from under 30% from three-point range, and that was it was a huge problem for his numbers. It was a huge problem for the Grizzlies. He seems to have sorted that out. But again, for me, Darius Garland is the most improved player because he went from being an actual bad player to a good player, which I think is important. So guys, we are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. When we come back, we are going to discuss Black Monday in the NFL. George Kurtz will rejoin me. Stay on the grid, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, back joined by George Kurtz. We just covered our NBA fantasy standouts. Now going to take a look at the aftermath of Black Monday in the NFL, George. Joe Judge was gracefully fired yesterday by the New York Giants. So we have quite a few openings in the head coaching market. The New York Giants, Jacksonville Jaguars, Denver Broncos, Minnesota Vikings, Chicago Bears, Miami Dolphins, and potentially the Las Vegas Raiders, although their interim head coach did make the playoffs, so certainly a chance that he does get extended there. So before we get into any of the nitty-gritty of who might be hired here, what do you think the most appealing and attractive head coach opening is right now of the Jets?
Well, I think as things currently stand, I'm going to the mountains. All right, I'm going to go Rocky Mountain High. Give me Denver. Denver has a good defense. When I talk about a lockdown defense, when I talk about the 86 Bears or the 2000 Ravens here, but it's a good defense, right? So we'll take that offensively. Well, you've got the receivers, Judy, Patrick, Sutton. You got two good tight ends and AO and Fant there. The offensive line is, I would say, average, so I'll take above average there. All they're missing is the quarterback. I understand it's not the greatest division maybe you want to go to because, listen, we need a quarterback. I think they're gonna trade for a quarterback. I think it's one of the reasons why they traded Von Miller to get extra draft picks to go after. I think they're going after Aaron Rodgers. I mean, there's also been talk this week that, Denver's contacted a couple of Rodgers' assistants over the years that have, they know Aaron. Once again, could be a coincidence, maybe not. So I think either way, I think Denver's going to make a move for a quarterback. So that's if I'm a coach coming in, love to hear that. I may not be thrilled about being in a division with Pat Mahomes and Herbert, but, hey, nothing's perfect here. So Denver is where I want to be. That being said, by the way, if you could tell me, hey, Rodgers is leaving, well, then the Bears and Vikings job are a lot more interesting also, right? Because Vikings have some good players. Bears have actually a decent foundation there. And if I can get rid of Aaron Rodgers out of that division, I'd be a whole lot happier about going to Chicago or Minnesota.
Yeah, I think it's pretty close to me between the Denver Broncos and between the Chicago Bears. Now, obviously, in a Broncos situation, it's a good team. I mean, even with Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock at quarterback, they were competitive. They stayed in a lot of games against, they almost beat the Kansas City Chiefs in a game that didn't even matter in week 18. They have lots of cap space. They have lots of draft picks. They have the talent in place on defense. They have all of those talented pass catchers. The thing that obviously you would want in the Chicago job or even the Jacksonville job would be the question of the quarterback is already there. I mean, we already know that Justin Fields is the quarterback of the Bears. Trevor Lawrence is the quarterback of the Jaguars. I am inclined to think that the Chicago job is a pretty good one because I really believe in Justin Fields. I think he is a absolutely phenomenal talent. I think the Vikings job, George, is a really interesting one because you might be coming into a spot where the new general manager doesn't want to have Kirk Cousins anymore, doesn't want to pay Kirk Cousins the money he is owed, doesn't want to try and build a team around his deficiencies. But probably if you are a head coach, you're probably looking at Kirk Cousins and looking at his win-loss record with Mike Zimmerman the last 4 years, and you're probably like, I don't know, why would I want to get rid of Kirk Cousins? I can win 10 games with Kirk Cousins, and especially if Rodgers leaves that division, the Vikings and the Bears job, you're right, to the point you just made, are far more appealing and interesting.
Yeah, I said, you think of Minnesota, and I'm with you on the Bears, by the way, but you think of Minnesota, well, you got Dalvin Cook and Madison, for that matter. You got George Jefferson at wide receiver there, Osborne, Thielen, good group there. All right, secondary needs some work, but they also led the league, or at one point led the league in sacks, so we know they get the quarterback there, so that's half your problem solved. Minnesota's interesting. Chicago, same thing. You got the running back in Montgomery. You got Mooney. You need more help at wide receiver. Robinson probably has to go. We need to see Fields get healthy or stay healthy for more than a couple games at a time here. But you got a quarterback that, just maybe he's going to be the best quarterback out of that group of rookies last season. Defense is good. So, yeah, Chicago's intriguing as well to me here. It's just a matter, like I said, I would love to get Rodgers out of there. Because if Rodgers is still there, it's an uphill climb. It's just an uphill climb to beat him. Now, he's too good. It's like Tom Brady. He's just too good at this point in his career. He knows what you're doing before you know what you're doing. So that's what I think needs to happen there. But Bears, Vikings, I'm right there with you. I think they're good spots to land.
Yeah. And then, we'll see what ends up happening with the Miami Dolphins. It's sort of interesting that Brian Flores gets fired by the Miami Dolphins, and then we immediately start hearing, well, all these other teams want to hire Brian Flores, which must mean that, it might make the Dolphins feel that they made – not the correct decision there. Although a lot of the reporting that came out about Brian Flores after he was let go by the Miami Dolphins was that it was more of a personality thing. He wasn't able to generate good relationships with the front office, good relationships with Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins. And that is, we kind of forget that playing in the NFL, coaching in the NFL, it's a job just like you and I have, right? If you and I didn't get along, if you and I didn't have a good working relationship with Brett, well, they probably wouldn't want us to come on the shows all that often. And Brian Flores, if you can't create a good working relationship, I don't know. It's definitely going to hold him back in the NFL. I wanted to dig a little bit deeper into the Chicago Bears because we have already gotten some of the guys that they have requested interviews with. And I think it's a fairly interesting list because they kind of have guys from every side of the coin here in the NFL. So Todd Bowles, of course, the defensive coordinator of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, longtime coach in the NFL, has been a head coach, has been a defensive coordinator, very defensive-minded guy. But then Brian Daboll is certainly the guy who I think deserves a chance at this job, and I think he would be a great fit with Justin Fields because of what he has done with running quarterbacks. So he has been the offensive coordinator for Josh Allen, I think had a big part in turning Josh Allen from sort of the laughable guy he was as a rookie into the MVP candidate that he is now. He coached in Kansas City. He coached in Miami. He coached in Cleveland. You know, he's been there with Tyrod Taylor and things like that. So I'd really like to see him get a chance. Nathaniel Hackett, I mean, who cares? He's Aaron Rodgers' offensive coordinator. How difficult of a job is it to be an offensive coordinator for Aaron Rodgers? And then we have Leslie Frazier in here, again, very similar to Bowles, Brian Flores, and Matt Eberflus, who is the Colts defensive coordinator. What direction do you think they will end up going here?
Well, first off, do we have a good working relationship with Brett Levy? I'm not so sure we do. I'm counting down the hours until he's gone, by the way. Isn't he going away? Isn't he going to Denver? Oh, head coaching job opening in Denver. Brett's going to Denver tomorrow. All right. All seriousness. I think for Chicago, you have to get, I don't want to say a quarterback guru, but a guy who's good with quarterbacks, right? Because everything depends. It's, by the way, it's the same holds true for Jacksonville. Everything depends on bringing along your second-year quarterback, which would be Justin Fields. I think what you said about Brian Daboll makes immense sense, right? He's brought along Josh Allen there in Buffalo. Well, next, Justin Fields. You know, so I think that's what you need here. A guy who gets along with the young quarterback or is going to hire you. When he has your interview, he goes, okay, I may not be great with quarterbacks, but I'm going to bring on Davis Maddock. And Davis Maddock is out, you know, he's well known for being great with quarterbacks. Fine. That's a plan there. I need to hear that if I'm an ownership there. I need to hear how you're going to bring along Justin Fields there. I think it's immensely important, Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. That's the one thing I'm looking for here, because you made that investment. The NFL is a quarterback-driven league. You're not going to win, or at least not win consistently without one. So in my mind, it's the most important thing. Bottom line is this. I would be shocked if Brian Daboll is back with Buffalo next season. I think he's getting a job for this reason. If it's not Chicago, maybe it is Jacksonville, but he's going somewhere. And like I said, those teams have to have the quarterback guru. But that's why I would say that the favorite is here for Chicago would be, in my mind, it's going to be Brian Daboll.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. And it feels like sort of like how Eric Bieniemy, like it just seems crazy that Eric Bieniemy doesn't have a head coaching gig yet. It really does feel like Daboll has earned one because of what he's done in, you know, difficult situations. He also has great pedigree, right? So he came from the Patriots, which is, I guess after watching Joe Judge flame out, maybe you don't feel, maybe you don't feel as good. You know, in general, I guess Bill Belichick coaching tree guys haven't done that well. So maybe Daboll will have a chance to turn that one around. But I think he's just done such a good job being an offensive coordinator in his stints with the Cleveland Browns and with the Buffalo Bills that he really does deserve another chance. And you know, but very similarly, Greg Roman, who is the offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, we've said the same thing about him forever. In a very similar situation, you know, creating that rushing offense around Lamar Jackson, but he's not even getting interviews this time around. I mean, I haven't heard Greg Roman's name mentioned for any of these openings, which does feel, it feels a little strange at this point.
Yeah, it's why for these coaches, though, when you get a chance to be a head coach, I don't care what team it is, you have to take it because you're hot one year, you're not hot the next. We keep turning down those offers. Yeah, you're not going to get that second chance against you. You take the job when you can get it there. Because you're right, Greg Roman, one time was a, you know, oh, his name was bandied about with everybody. And now we're not hearing him with anybody. You know, even Eric Bieniemy, whose name you've heard a little bit, but he's quieted down somewhat. I think he would be a good match also with Chicago, once again, or Jacksonville, or really any team. He should have been head coach by now.
Yeah, he definitely should have had. And again, you know, if we're talking about guys who should get head coaching jobs, I mean, we just went through this whole 12-minute segment, and we have not mentioned Kellen Moore's name yet. I mean, Kellen Moore should be the number one guy that that all of these teams are wanting to hire to be the head coach of their team. However, what I'm hoping, George, and I bet you agree with me on this one, is that Jerry Jones has told all these teams, bug off. We are going to pay Kellen Moore whatever he asks for, and whenever Mike McCarthy is done being a head coach, Kellen Moore is going to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, which I really hope it's true, because I just cannot live in a world where Kellen Moore leaves and coaches the Jaguars. We're heading in a break real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. See you back in a second. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. Before we get into discussing the fantasy football playoffs, I, of course, need to remind all of you guys that you need to be following at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on social media, on Twitter. You can also follow us on Instagram as well. You're going to get the best injury news, updates, highlights, line movements, all of that good stuff. You'll also get some picks, or at least some analysis on picks from guys here on the network. You also, the other day, they highlighted a clip of me saying that I would be betting on Alabama against Georgia. So no guarantee that the picks are always going to be good. But here in this segment, we are going to discuss something near and dear to my heart, which is playoff fantasy football, which works quite a bit different than regular season fantasy football. Now, George, you know, there are contests where you can just hop into a snake draft with your buddies. You have your starting lineup, your quarterback, your two running backs, two wide receivers. I love to play in the one and done contest where you get to select one player from every NFL team to fill out a lineup with a quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, a tight end, two flex spots, kicker, defense, the FFPC, which of course does lots of, you know, regular season fantasy football contests. I love their contests. So we're going to take a look at playoff fantasy football strategy in a one and done context. We're going to be doing a league here on FST that is slightly different from these rules, but in general, the one-and-done strategy, you can use a max of one player per team. You can only use two teams in total with or the big difference this year is that there are only two total teams with a bye. That's going to really mess with the scoring. I think that strategies that may have worked in years past are not going to work as well this year. And then depending on the specific contest, each lineup is going to exclude two to three teams. For example, the FFPC contest, you're not going to be using members of two teams. For the one that you and I are doing for our league here on the show, it's three teams, I believe, that you are going to be excluding per round. So what is your experience with playoff fantasy football, George?
All over the place, right? So many different ways of going about it. It's much more than your yearly league here. I play in a league, like you said, the first one, with my buddy. Same guys who play in the home league. We already had our draft, same scoring system. Nothing changes. It's total points. That's it. You can do whatever you want to do there, and away we go. You cannot make roster moves. That's it. Once your player is out, your player is out. So that's your strategy there. You're pretty much banking on guys who you think are going to go longer in the playoffs. And you're right, by the way. Only having two teams with buys instead of four does change things, because you're going to have, theoretically, more teams involved here, which we do, because it's 14 playoff teams. I also play in a league, as you said. I play in a multiplayer league, right? If you take somebody in round one, they go to round two. Well, now next round, they get twice as many points. So you're banking on, you're playing the game. You think the Cowboys are going to at least the championship game, you're taking as many Cowboys you can possibly get, right? You might still take some Packers. If you think they're going to a Super Bowl, that's still good, right? You're still going to get three times those points here. Nothing this week, but three times those points. And I play in the one and dones that you're talking about as well. I said, there's just so many. And I'm a fantasy guy. I don't like to end it just because the regular season's over. So I won't play anywhere near as many. Of course, I do a regular year-long league, but I play in quite a few playoff leagues.
Yeah, the playoff leagues is great. So I actually, my total favorite format is the one that you just discussed, where there is a multiplier. They run this on the NFC website. It's very simple. It maybe sounds kind of complicated, but you have your starting roster, quarterback, running back, two running backs, two wide receivers, tight end, flex spot, kicker, defense. You take one from every position, but you get to make roster moves. And you can add in, if a team gets all the way to Super Bowl, you can end up having four players from each Super Bowl team. But the caveat is, for every week that a player advances, they get a multiplier. So, for example, teams with the buys this week, you could take Davante Adams, put him in your flex spot, but when he plays for the Green Bay Packers next week against whoever their opponent ends up being, he already has received a 2x multiplier. The next week, 3x. Next week, 4x. So for example, if you wanted to take on the other side of the bracket, Derrick Henry for the Tennessee Titans, same thing. So it's a great element of strategy there. Probably, I might even like that NFC game with the multiplier. I might even like that more than regular season fantasy football, to be honest. It really is one of my favorite games to play. But in the one-and-done format, basically the most important decision that you're going to make, George, is which teams do I fade? Which two teams do I fade? Which three teams do I fade? And I did a quick look at ownership projections with my friend Pat Corain, who comes on this program from time to time yesterday. And we ended up realizing that the Pittsburgh Steelers, who play against the Kansas City Chiefs, the Philadelphia Eagles, who play against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they played each other in the regular season, and the Raiders, who play up against the Bengals, these are going to be the most faded teams. Can you talk me out of fading any of them?
Not the Pennsylvania teams, right? Pittsburgh's going to get whacked, obliterated, destroyed, annihilated, whatever term you want to use there on Sunday night. I don't think they have a snowball's chance in hell here. They're done. Philadelphia, I think, has an outside chance at Tampa Bay only because of all the injuries they have there, but I don't give them much of a shot either. So they're done. I'm not taking any of those teams either. The team I could possibly, think about would be the Raiders. But the NFL did them no favors. All right, go play a Sunday night game, week 18. You know what? We're going to give you the first playoff game on Saturday afternoon. Yeah, don't give them the Monday night game, which is ridiculous in itself, by the way, and it's another pet peeve of mine. Let's give you the first game on Saturday so you have no practice time this week. I mean, it's about putting a team behind the eight ball, and Cincinnati rested everybody, so the earliest playoff time won't bother them. So they'll be the one team I could possibly give you pushback on, but not a lot of pushback because, once again, I think Cincinnati wins this game as well. But, hey, my partner on the next show, Scott Wetzel, thinks the Raiders win this game. So he'd be thinking differently than me. He may love the Raiders, especially if everyone else is fading them, knowing that next week he could have some Raiders, Renfro, maybe Waller, Jacobs could have a decent game here. And he's going to get two times where no one else is out of the Raiders.
So I think what you mentioned there is really interesting because the market actually has that Raiders and Bengals game far closer than it does have those Pennsylvania games, right? I think the Eagles are 9.5-point dogs. The Steelers are 13 or 13.5-point dogs, depending on when you're looking at the line and which book you are looking at. And their win probability there is quite low. But that line for the Bengals and the Raiders game actually opened at 6.5 points, and it's been bet in Las Vegas's direction. And, there are a lot of different reasons for that, and it didn't move through a key number. It just went from 6.5 to 5. But the market actually thinks the Raiders have a fairly decent chance of winning that game. And if you look at who they would play against, I believe if the Raiders win that game, then they would travel to play against the Buffalo Bills, which, I mean, certainly they would be a big dog in that game. But, I mean, the Raiders are just a little bit better than I think the fantasy football market is giving them credit for. So I do wonder if taking Waller, taking Jacobs in some of these one-and-done contests is sort of interesting. And now we have to look at some of the leverage angles, because again, if you're picking these guys in a one and done contest, you also have to be predicting who's going to make the Super Bowl, who's going to make it to the conference championship game, because it's not just about picking the best players. They also have to be getting multiple games in order to accumulate their statistics. So I have a couple leverage angles for us to discuss here. The first one is, and I don't even want to put this out in the universe.
This hurts.
The, The 49ers, so if the 49ers do beat Dallas, George, I don't think it's going to be a shootout. I think the 49ers beating Dallas is they run the ball down our Cowboys' throats. Dak doesn't have a very good game. And the reason why this is even more interesting is, you know, Dallas players are going to be very popular. CeeDee, Zeke, even Amari and Dalton Schultz, Dak, all going to be fairly popular in these contests. If the 49ers get two games or even, you know, by somehow magic getting three games, Debo, Eli Mitchell, George Kittle, these guys have been fantasy studs all year long. I hate it, but I do think this is fantastic leverage.
Absolutely. And the 49ers, I think you just said it, by the way, which bothers me to no amount that you and I are thinking the same thing here. The 49ers have a shot against Dallas because they can run the ball, and Dallas can have trouble stopping the run at times here. So it wouldn't shock me at all here. And by the way, if I hear the commercial slash promo one more time with the Dwight Clark catch of 1981 on this network, I'm going to freak out for the love of God. It's like they're taunting me here. But I could see this. You also said Dak may not play well. That's his history. I mean, once again, he doesn't have a long history here, but it's long enough where he does not play well in big games, especially big games outside of the NFC East. He can beat the crap out of the Eagles, the Washington football team, and the Giants, but, you know, big games against other teams doesn't show up so much. I think the good news for Dallas, A, it's at home. B, the way to beat San Fran is through the air. They can be had in the secondary, so hopefully he can relax a little bit and put up some numbers here, because I think San Fran does pose a problem for the Cowboys. It wouldn't shock me. And like I said, if you're not a Cowboy fan, I don't think I could pick San Fran play. I just don't think I could just do it. But if you're not a Cowboy fan, yeah, I can see you going Eli Mitchell here and thinking you're going to get next week. The only problem is, next week, if you're planning it out, we both think Philadelphia's going to get destroyed, right? So it means next week, San Fran's going to Green Bay. I don't know how much that's going to work out for you there. So you may be dead at two. You know, and I'm really looking for three. I'm looking for a team I think has got a shot at three. I think San Fran, yeah, I think they can get by Dallas, but I don't think they can get by Green Bay.
So another one of the interesting angles is the Packers making it to the Super Bowl. Now, obviously, as the one seed, they have the easiest avenue there. But if they get three games and one of them, Devontae Adams, doesn't have a strong game in, then you're looking at the best Packer to use, maybe being Aaron Jones, maybe being Aaron Rodgers, because Devontae Adams, so the Packers are going to be selected in every contest. I guarantee you that. But Devontae Adams is going to be like 80, 90% of people's selections for the Packers. What odds do you give Rodgers or Aaron Jones or A.J. Dillon being the correct selection from the Packers?
Well, that's the problem, man, because you just said it. What's that last name you added there? A.J. Dillon. Dillon and Jones are almost splitting it now, and Dillon's taking a heavier rushing load here because he's the monster, right? And anybody going to want to tackle him in Green Bay? You know, where it might, well, Lord knows what the temperature might be in Green Bay in 2 weeks. I mean, you know, and that, when you tackle somebody in that kind of cold weather, it's like being electrocuted. All right, it's just cold. I mean, it's just brutally cold here. But still, you got to pick one of those two. Aaron Jones may be more the guy catching the ball out of the backfield, smattering of run plays. But I think Dillon's going to be your goal line guy here. I think I would take a shot on Dillon here. So, I do think the Packers are going to the Super Bowl. I just do. I think it works out well for them, the way things have broken down here. And I thought that game against Minnesota, by the way, that Monday night game was so important. Rodgers can throw in the cold. Doesn't bother him. That's an issue with will of a teams here. I am going to be heavy on the Packers. I am.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And then our final angle here, I can really talk myself into this one. The Bengals beat the Raiders, or the Patriots beat the Buffalo Bills. And I can see the Titans getting the one seed and losing in the divisional round, and I can see it being the correct decision to not take Derrick Henry, not take Ryan Tannehill, not even take AJ Brown, and just stone fade the Tennessee Titans. I'm not saying it's the most likely thing, but I do think the way these contests play out, it is a rather interesting angle. But there are plenty of ways to play playoff fantasy football. We will be discussing it every day here on the show, so make sure that you're tuning in to Fantasy Sports Today to keep your fantasy football playoffs in order. We're going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. See you back in a moment. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. We're closing out Hour 1 here with George Kurtz as we discuss, we found a way to shoehorn some baseball chat in as Camden Yards, where the Baltimore Orioles are playing, they are changing their ballpark. They are going to be making it more pitcher-friendly, extending the walls and making them also a little bit taller. I guess they just got tired of Gleyber Torres coming to Baltimore and it being the only place that he could hit home runs. I mean, the AL East basically the most hitter-friendly division in baseball, and the Baltimore Orioles are trying to change that dynamic a little bit.
Yeah, it's pretty dramatic what they're doing here. They're in left field, just left field, by the way, not center, not right. They're going to move it back 30 feet at some point, probably closer to left center. And they're also going to make the walls from 7 feet to 12 feet. So we're not talking a little cosmetic change here. This is a major change. 30 feet taking away a lot of seats there. So I'm surprised to say the least. Do they think they're going to be a pitching organization all of a sudden? Who knows? It's Baltimore. And throwing 7 to 12 feet, that's also a big change there. They do expect these, fixes, alterations, whatever you want to call it, to be done by opening day, whenever opening day is. Maybe it's not going to be March 31st. Who knows? Maybe they know something we don't know here. So, yeah, it will be a dramatic change in Camden Yards, which the TV may be terrible. Still one of my most favorite ballparks to go to.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe there was a report yesterday that the MLB and the MLBPA is at least now meeting to talk, or am I wrong on that?
You're right. Tomorrow, January 14th, that'll be their first meeting since early December, over a month here, and they are expected to talk about one core economic issue here. But my guess is in about 24 hours from now, we'll hear they're even more angrier now than they were before the meeting. It's just the way these things work.
Yeah, we'll see. I very much hope that we have some baseball to be discussing on the show here soon. Excited to hop in some drafts and be building teams with Craig and George here on the program. And we'll be doing baseball as soon as we can for everyone out there. We're going to go ahead and wrap up Hour 1 here on the show. News break coming up. Stay on the grid, everybody. Break.